I want you to look at your neighbor and I want you to say, this is a call to prayer. Amen, amen. God's call to prayer. I'm going to read from the book of Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter. I'm only going to read three, three verses. Then I'm going to go over to the 33rd chapter and read those verses. And I'm going to try to combine this and put this together. Amen. I'm going to say a little prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would allow me to bring forth your word without any hindrances. I ask that I decrease as you increase, God. Let your word fall on good ground, God. Let us be doers and hearers of your word. I give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of 32nd chapter says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, for then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I would give the city into the hands of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. Chapter 33. See, when God is getting his point across, it doesn't matter where you are. You can be in prison. God's going to get his point across. Amen. There's no walls, no barriers that can stop God from doing what he needs to do in our lives or to in other people's lives. Chapter 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus said the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. He's identifying himself, the Lord, the maker, amen, who created it, who formed it, amen. I will answer thee, it said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. Amen. Jeremiah had a task to do. And I have just a little bit of history on Jeremiah. As I was doing some research, I discovered that Jeremiah was only 17 years old when God called him to be a prophet. And as Moses did, Moses told the Lord, he says, you know, I can't do this. You know, I can't speak. I don't have an eloquent speaking. Let somebody else do it. Jeremiah's reply was, you know, I'm just a kid. If God can use a donkey, he can use a child. The word of God says, suffer the little ones to come unto me. So God has no respect of person. Records find that prophecies of Judah warning Jeremiah's job, his purpose for him being born was to prophesy. That was his job. Amen. That's what he was supposed to do. That's what God assigned to his life. And as I began to read this, you know, we've always heard that Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and I looked that up and I'm like, God, you know, he did a whole lot of crying. But I found out why. Because his heart was moved, and he was compelled to move, and he was moved because the children of Israel was doing everything, and that hurt him. And two of the occasions that happened, Jeremiah was the one who prophesied that. And so if a man or woman of God tell you, thus say the Lord, it would be in your best interest to listen. Because if it's a true prophet or prophetess of God, that thing is going to come to truth. Amen. See, Jeremiah was not one of these prophets that's going to prophesy you a house, a car, a husband, a new job. No. He was concerned about your soul. Where are you going to spend eternity when you leave here? You've done all of these things. And where you think you're going, where you going to lay your head tonight? Amen. You know, and it was hard. I'm sure that it was hard on him to have to see these things. And God allowed him to see this. Because myself, I can speak for myself. Because when God called me into ministry, my thing was, God, I don't want to be bothered with that. Because you are responsible for folks' souls. You got to tell them whether they want to hear it or not. Amen. Because you know what a charge to keep we have and a God to glorify. It's not about us. It's about getting God's word across to the people. You know, if they turn a deaf ear, that's not on you. You delivered what God said. So you're responsible for that from that day forth. And just as Jeremiah and the king asked him, why do you keep saying, thus said the Lord, thus said the Lord, you know. So he says, okay, this is what I'll do. I'll lock you up in prison. And see, he wasn't just in an ordinary prison. He was in a house with the prison in the house. So, of course, the king didn't want to hear Jeremiah coming to tell them what God was going to do. He didn't want to hear that. None of that. None of us want to hear bad things. But the thing of it is, this is a warning. The light is going off. Warning, 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 warning. So as Jeremiah went forth and did as God told him to do, God told him, he said, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to tell them that except they get this thing right, I'm going to destroy them. These were people that he loved. This was Judah and Israel. He said, I'm going to allow Babylon to take them into captivity. Sometimes, you know, my mother's saying is, we don't believe fat meat is greasy. God says, okay, now I'm going to send you, man of God. I'm going to give it to you. And I want you to deliver this to them. You get it off of you, and if they don't adhere to it, then it's on them. Nobody wants to hear bad news. And Jeremiah didn't want to deliver bad news. At one time, Jeremiah says, I'm not going to prophesy no more. I ain't going to do this. But the word of God says, he said, it's fire, just like God's word is like fire, shut up in my bones. So we that have been called by God, amen. We have a charge. God has given us a charge. And Jeremiah's charge was to tell the people of God what was going to happen to them. And see, he started praying. And that's something that we don't want to do. We don't want to take time and pray. Amen. You can't reach God on the internet. You can't text him. You can't Skype him. Amen. You can't do none of these, all this fastness that's going on with the computer. So I'm just going to text God today and see what he got to say today. No. You got to get down on your knee, and you don't even have to be on your knees. Because I walk around a lot of time and pray. Sometimes I lay in the bed and I pray. But you got to spend some time with him to get to know who he is. Because he's the God of heaven. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. Jeremiah had a duty to do. He had a command. He had a mandate to let those folk know, except you do what I tell you to do, except you change and turn your ways, in hell you will lift up your eyes. And see, people don't believe that there is a heaven and there is a hell, but it is. It's very real. You hear people saying foolish stuff like, Oh, it couldn't be no worse than right now. I'm in hell right now. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you knew anything about the word of God, you know that you're not in hell right now. God has not judged you yet, but he's coming to judge. So just as he told Hezekiah, he says, get your house in order. Get it in order. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. And he began to pray. And God added 15 years to his life because he made a change. Amen. So we have to pray. We see that things are happening in this time. Earthquakes. Tsunami. I'd never heard of a tsunami in my life. Never even heard of the word until a few years ago. And you see these things are happening. You know, half of California getting burned up. People dying by the thousands in earthquakes and tsunamis and stuff like this. The time is at hand. Jesus Christ is on his way back. Just as Jeremiah prophesied back then, it's relevant for us today. It wasn't just for them. It's for us right now to get it together. Amen. It's time out for playing church. So if you come into church just to say that you came to church, there's no need of you being here. You got to come to church to get something from God. When I wake up in the morning, I put my feet on the floor. I open my eyes. God, what is it? What do you need for me to do today? I need to know, what do you need for me to do right now? See, the enemy, he hates me and I hate him too. So we're on the same page. I hate him, and he hate me. So we're on the same page. It's on this page that we're on together. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Amen. But God, Jeremiah knew. And the Bible says the king's heart is in God's hand. So who is the king that thinking he can tell the man of God not to do what God has assigned for him to do? It don't work like that. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. If God said that he's going to do a thing, he's going to do it. He said in his word, he says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, he said, I'm able to perform it. He said, I sent my word, and my word would not return unto me void. But it accomplished the thing that he sent it to do. Yes. Jeremiah was about God's business. Taking care of God's business. Letting the people know, okay, here it is. God says, if you don't turn from what you're doing, all this wickedness, they had just totally disregarded who God was. How could we do that? These were the children of Israel. They knew what God could do. This is the same God that allowed them to cross the Red Sea. This is the same God that hung the stars in space. This is the same God that put the moon up there. This is the same God. I am. When he said, ask him, tell him who sent you, tell him I am. I am sent me. I am God. And beside me there is none. Amen. So we have to know that when God assigned us to do a thing, he expects, because one thing about it, I'm learning. I've not arrived yet, but I'm learning that Minister Day can't do what God has assigned for me to do. God expects for me to carry out what he assigned to my hand. I can't say, well, Pastor Ronnie didn't teach me that. God will say, you know what? Depart from me. I don't even know you. You can't expect for people to take blame for your shortcomings because we all have them. But the thing of it is, getting right with God, getting it right, because time is far spent. I know that we've been hearing for years, Jesus is soon to come. Jesus is soon to come. Yes, he is. He's on his way here. And it behooves us to take heed and listen to the men and women of God
that's trying to get us in a place where we can spend eternity with him. Not us of ourselves, but doing the thing that God has required of us. What has he required of you? Just as Jeremiah, you know, I'm sure that it was hard for him sometimes having to prophesy because gloom and doom. But you know what? This is what God gave for him to do. Amen. So he didn't have a choice. He did not complain. He was in prison. He didn't complain. He just listened, tuned his ear, and his heart was bent toward listening to God and telling the king what God says. Just because you're a king, just because there was the king, they were a king, but they wasn't the king. Amen. So we have to know, okay, Lord, here it is. Where am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What have you commissioned me to do? Amen. The theme out there, what do I fit? You know, what have you given, what have you placed in my hands? Amen. To do. The call. What is my calling? Amen. Jeremiah knew what his calling was. He was a prophet. Amen. And the thing of it was, Jeremiah prophesied during the time of Isaiah. And he also prophesied under four or five kings. He was their prophet. So when this man came to tell them what thus say the Lord, they should have been listening attentively. Sometimes we hear, but we don't hear. Amen. Sometimes we see and we don't see. Oh, I saw it, but I really didn't pay no attention. But it behooves us to pay attention and get it right. Amen. You have a chance to get it right. Just as the prophet Jeremiah. Amen. Okay, Lord, you know, he told the king, he says, thus said the Lord. He didn't say, thus said Jeremiah. He says, thus said the Lord. God gave it to him. He gave it to them. So when God give us something, he expects for us to expedite it, to carry it out. And don't be slow to do it. Do it quickly. Amen. Because you are responsible for it until you get it out of your hands. And he did just that. He got that thing out of his hands. God told him, if you turn, I'll be your God. You will be my people. I will love you. But if you don't, woe be unto you. Amen. So we have to take heed. Take heed to what God is saying. Amen. It wasn't just for back then. You know, you have older days of old. Well, yeah, but guess what? God is speaking now, and he's speaking in volumes. Things that are happening, families being destroyed. I was watching the news this morning in Seattle. A crane fell and crushed several people. Several people died. You know, you have to think about that. Were those people saved? Did they know anything about Jesus Christ? Amen. It's our responsibility to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just for us to come into Rhema with our arms folded and hear the word and get fat off the word and it's just me, me, me. What about your neighbor? Amen. What about your brothers and sisters? Amen. What about your co-workers? Amen. I had an incident on last week where I had to tell this person, as you know, I said, I don't care to know your personal life. I really don't want to know all of that about you. So it would be in your best interest not to share that with me because I don't want to know that. You're going to have to answer to God for that. You got to answer to God for it. I don't. So if you're around here dipping and tipping and midnight slipping, and you got a whole husband at home, guess what?
My Bible tells me that God don't sleep, nor do he slumber. His eyes are roaming. Just like he's right here in Belleville, his eyes is in Japan also. So if you think that you're getting away with something, you're not. Because on that judgment day, he's got a book. Amen. He's keeping records. You think that you're getting away with something? You're not. So don't tell me about it. I don't want to hear about it. You don't have to discuss that with me because that's not my business. So if I was you, I would be ashamed of myself the way I'm carrying on. Amen. You know, I don't want to hear it. And of course, you know, the very next day, this individual had an attitude. So I just had to pull her little shirt tail and just tell her, you know what, Miss Vivian don't want to know that. Keep that to yourself. Because I ain't got to give account to that. You know. But we have to let people know. Because you know what? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And people will think that it's okay for me to come to you and say anything to you and tell you anything about my life. I don't want to know that. God is the one that you need to be trying to make it reckon with. Because you're going to have to answer. We're going to have to answer to these things. Just as Jeremiah began to tell the king what was going to happen to him, they didn't want to hear that. He didn't want to hear that. Why do you keep prophesying all this to us? Because God told me, take it up with him. Amen. Take it up with him. It's time to pray, saints. It's time to get right with God and pray. Go into your secret closet and pray. Amen. I was telling Minister Corey, the house that the Lord blessed me and Regina with, it has a very nice basement in it. I said, that's going to be my war room. Because I want to get in God's face. I want him to get tired of me coming to him all the time. I want to be serious. I want to know what God's will is for my life because I don't know the entire thing. But I want to know. So when a man or woman of God prophesied to me, I want to know that it's God. I don't want you to be prophesying to me. I said prophesying. You know, amen. We want to hear good things. We want to hear about houses and cars and husbands and jobs and money. You need to be trying to know where you're going to spend eternity at. Amen. That's what you need to be doing. So when we get into God's face and cry loud and spare not and lift up our voice like a trumpet in Zion, God says, show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. It's sin that separated them from God. Nothing else. But, you know, we think that God is a sugar daddy, a Santa Claus. We want to go to him when we need stuff. But we don't want to take time and commune with him and get to know who he really is. Have a relationship with him. We just, Lord, I need. And he's saying all the time, you need to get to know me. You'll find out who I am. You'll find out that I will meet your needs. But get to know me. Spend some time with me. Amen. And don't come to me begging all the time. Amen. We got to know, saints. We got to know who this God that created the heavens and the earth. We got to know who allowed us to be here today. We need to know who he is. Amen. Like I said, he's not Santa Claus. Amen. He's God, the creator, the king of kings, the lord of lords, the bishop of my soul. That's who he is to me. Who is he to you? He's my God. Oftentimes we forget about that. When we get into a dilemma, the first thing we want to do, we want to call on our friends. But they can't help you. Because if God don't help them, they can't help you. Amen. So we need to get to know who Jehovah Jireh is. He's our provider. Get to know who Jehovah Shalom. He's our peace. We need to know, get to know our shepherd. Amen. Amen. We need to know that.
Amen. Instead of walking around here like, but duh, I don't know. Hearing folks say, well, you know, I talked to the man upstairs. I lived in an apartment. You could be talking about the person upstairs over me. No, get to know who our Heavenly Father is. He's a compassionate, but he's a sovereign, but he can be a God of wrath. Amen. He can destroy things if need be to get your attention. Amen. But he chose not to do that. He's trying to give us an opportunity. He has redeemed the time for us to get it right. And we still walk around here like goofy nuts, doing stuff and wondering why these things are happening. Because you have not made up your mind to follow Jesus Christ. Well, I go to church. I can watch church on TV. But the word of God says not to forget to assemble yourself. Crack that book and find out what it says, what God's promises. His promises are yea and amen. That's what his promises are. Get to know who he is. And you know what? No matter where we go, we can't run and we can't hide from God. Ask Jonah. God gave him something to do. He told him, he said, I want you to go down to Nineveh and to tell them folk, if they didn't get it right, I was going to destroy them. But instead of him, Jonah, doing that, he decided he going to get on him a boat to capsize, and he got swallowed up in this big fish. But God allowed him that time to think it through. God allowed that beast, a whale or whatever it was, to spit him out. And he looked over. And God did not want to destroy Nineveh because they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know their right hand from their left. God had compassion on them. Where Jonah didn't. He wanted to see them destroyed. But God says, no, no, no. I'm going to give them a second chance. How many second chances have God given us? Second, third, fourth, fifth. Amen. And we go to him and we tell him, Lord, I'm not going to do that no more. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Yes, you are. You're going to do it again. Until you make up in your mind, God, I want to live right. I want to be right in your sight. I want to do that thing that will please you. Get to know who God is. He's a sovereign God. He's a loving and a compassionate God. But like I said, he's a God of wrath. When he get tired, he get tired. And when he throw in the towel, you can hang it up. And we don't want him to do that. So Jeremiah was on his job. He was doing what God called him to do. That's prophesy and let the people of Israel and Judah know, if you don't get this thing right, I'm going to. And he allowed it. He allowed them to go into captivity. Jeremiah was locked up in jail, but God was still using him. God does not take his gift away because you're someplace that's not comfortable. At that particular time, guess what? That's where he wants you to be for right then. But he was compassionate. He said, just let him know, being the kind father that he is. Because I can remember when my mother used to tell us, she said, if you keep doing that, I'm going to whip you. And then she'll say, I'm going to let it pile up. And then she would say, I'm going to get you for old and new. And she would whoop us, and she would tell you about things that happened 6 years ago. Like, oh, my, every time, why I told you, I'd like, just go ahead on and kill me. Just kill me. She said, but I told you when I get you, I'm going to get you for old and new. And see, God was saying, listen, I'm going to get them. I'm getting them for old and new. I'm trying to give you a chance. I don't want to get you, but if I got to get you, I'm going to get you. And when God gets you, you done got God. You know. So we have to remember who God is. Get to know God. So when a man or woman prophesied something in your life, we ought to know if it's of God. We ought to know if that's from the Lord. Because if it's from God, it is going to come to fruition. It's going to come to pass. So I would be leery of allowing people to whisper in my ear. Amen. But Jeremiah was a true prophet. Amen. He prophesied for years. And God gave him that gift. So we have to be cognizant of who God is. Get to know who Jesus Christ is. Amen. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Knowing that he's God. Amen. And we want to be in a good place with him. Amen. We need to know. We need to know who our Savior is. Because he's coming back. And I want to be ready. I want to be ready to go back with him. I don't want to stay down here. It's too much turmoil going on down here. I don't want to stay down here. I want to be caught up to meet him in the air. Amen. So as we think about who God is, let us meditate on it. Let us think about it. Let us get close to him. Let us get a relationship with him. Amen. Amen.
At this time, we're going to open up the doors of the church. We're going to extend an invitation. I realize that everyone here is a member, but we still open up the doors of the church. It could be for a number of occasions. One, rededicate yourself, reunite with Christ. Amen. So we extend this invitation. Amen. Let us all stand. Amen. We thank Minister Vivian for bringing the word this morning. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is a day that you have made, and we shall rejoice in it. Father God, we pray right now for Rhema Worship Center. We pray for each and every one that is here. We pray for those that are traveling on the highways, Father God, that are out of town. Father God, we pray right now for them. We pray, Lord, for Minister Joyce. Family. Father God, we lift her up and her family, her father, Brother Washington. Father God, we lift that family up to you right now in the name of Jesus. We pray for those that place their names on the prayer list.